The West Live.
The West Live
with Ben O'Shea.
Now, today marks 70 years since Britain conducted the first nuclear tests in Australia, which took place on WA's north coast. More than half a century on, and rather incredibly, marine scientists have discovered there remains a radiation risk to marine life and tourists. The extensive project saw the collection and subsequent testing of more than 100 samples of marine sediment and marine life from the underwater ecosystem of the archipelago of islands up there. The findings follow a four-year study led by Edith Cowan University PhD student Madison Hoffman. And Maddie joins us this morning on the West Live. Good morning, Maddie.
Good morning.
Now, tell us about your study. This is fascinating.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty cool too. it's quite an unknown, considering living here in West Australia. We're all pretty proud of our home state, and not many people know about the Montebello Islands and the nuclear history that we have here in this state. So, as you said, Operation Hurricane, it was the very first nuclear detonation on Australian soil as part of the 1950s UK nuclear testing program here in Australia. People might be more familiar with Maralinga, but Operation Hurricane was the first, and it was here in the Montebello Islands. They were plutonium fission devices, which basically means that they were pretty similar to other nuclear devices being detonated around the globe at the time. So, pretty interesting. And basically what we wanted to do was design a sampling program, basically go out and collect samples in the marine environment of the archipelago and just see what is there. We have so little information at the moment. We don't even have a baseline, so to say. So what we wanted to do is pretty much figure out what type of radioactivity is out there, how much is there, and where is it. Pretty basic, but pretty important.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, the findings did show that there is radiation up there, and it could be a potential risk. Were you surprised by what you found?
That's a difficult question. I guess at the moment, we're really focused on putting numbers to locations, mm-hmm. and we've been pretty successful in doing that to date. The next step of the project will be using a calculating tool to figure out what the risk is to the organisms and like the fish and the rock lobster and all of those sort of things that live up there, also to the people. So some areas were as we expected. So these tend to be close to where the nuclear detonations were set off. But we actually have some areas that have popped up that have been a little bit of a mystery. So we're pretty excited to be able to go back next year and actually really flesh out some of these unknown sort of hotspot locations.
Mm. And when you pitched your study, Maddie, were there some raised eyebrows? Did some cynics think, oh, well, she wants just a couple of trips to the Montebellos every year, and we're not going to get much out of it? Given it is a bit of a mystery an unknown about this state and that area.
Oh, 100%. Quite a lot of comments from locals, at least, thinking, yeah, you know, this girl, she's just up for a holiday. I can see why people holiday there. It's absolutely beautiful, the State Marine Park, and it's kept in such good condition by the DBCA up there. But I guess that's the whole point of science and research and why we do it. And the interesting thing about this study is even if in our conclusions with risk, we say there might be elevated radiation levels, but there's no, great risk to anyone that lives out there. It's still a really important finding. It's still really essential and crucial to understand exactly how these tests 70 years past have impacted and lived in our environment for that long. And hopefully we can apply those to other sites around the globe who don't have our sort of level of, I guess, investment from our state and federal departments.
Yeah. And were you surprised no one had really looked into this before?
A little bit. So I have a supervisor who'd looked into it a little bit on the terrestrial side of things, because when people go out there, obviously most of the time they're above the water. But it's actually a shift in thinking in the radio ecology scientific community. Over the past couple of decades, it's been a shift away from just looking at the risk to people, then looking at the risk to the environment, the plants, the animals. And I think that shift in perception has happened. And now this project is sort of coming along to appease that shift in perception. Mm. So,
and I understand from the information that ECU have sent out, there's a limit on the time that tourists can spend in the area. Explain that a little bit to us.
Yeah, so there are guidelines that have been set. They have been, I believe, recently updated, or there's been a new study conducted by our federal regulator to see if those limits are still acceptable. And those limits are basically for people camping on the islands. And they basically, there are certain areas that you can't camp in. And there are certain areas where they say, please only spend, you know, an hour per day or an hour per week or whatever per your stay in these areas. And that's just to limit any potential, normally like dust inhalation. That's the main route of exposure for people in those sandy sort of beach areas. So those exist as a precaution. And the federal regulator has done a number of studies in the past and currently that have sort of backed up that this is a good thing to do. So they're constantly looking at it, which is great.
Yeah. And the future of your study, as you touched on it earlier, what do you think, where do you think it will go next, and where do you think these initial findings will take you?
Yeah, so it's really exciting. We've just found out over the weekend that we've been successful in getting a new West Australian grant, the John Glover grant, to be able to go back next year and do essentially another sampling trip to fill in some of those areas that I mentioned that we were quite surprised about, being the level of radioactivity that they were. So we'll be able to go back, flesh those out, sort of fill in any gaps we have. And I'm really hopeful that there's some positive outcomes from this work. Like, of course, we want to be able to tell people, like, what sort of level of risk that there might be in the marine environment. That's one of our main prerogatives. But another main goal of this project is to potentially use this information for, I guess, a net positive for the scientific community. Radionuclides, those are the chemicals that are radioactive. You can actually use them as traces of processes that you can't normally see very well. So like ocean movement or water body movement, you can measure these radionuclides and they form a sort of fingerprint. And then you can tell, okay, this body of water has been in this location of the globe for this approximate amount of time. So they help you trace things that are really almost invisible. So I'm hoping that if we can really nail this fingerprint of the radioactivity at the Monties, that's going to be able to benefit a whole bunch of marine and maybe even terrestrial science in Western Australia. So we'll have our very own, very clear and very distinct fingerprint. So, yeah, hopefully it's all good news from here.
Well, it's fascinating and something I'm sure many of our listeners would have never realised even happened on this anniversary. So ECU PhD student Madison Hoffman, thanks very much for joining us on the West Live this morning.
Thanks for having me.
To have your say, or if you have a story, email the team at thewestlive@wanews.com.au.